Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
What would you do with a potential surplus of 65 billion euro? Well, that's the question the Cabinet was discussing this very morning. It's not the worst dilemma a government can face, I can tell you, but still very much has the potential to cause controversy. Should we, for example, pay off some of the national debt, which is spiralling, well over 200 billion, to reduce further interest payments on that? What about a pension fund? Pension crisis coming down the line, should it be put aside for a rainy day? Or is this the rainy day that we have right now with so many crises facing the country? Should we use it to supercharge home building and so on and so on and so on? I'm joined from our Dáil studio by Fine Gael Minister of State at the Department of Finance, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, and also by Sinn Féin finance spokesperson, Piers Doherty. You're both very much welcome to the programme on this key issue. Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill, it's your government that is discussing what to do with this potential surplus, and a huge surplus it is. What's the plan?
Well, could I say this is a really good thing for the state? We've gone from corporate tax receipts of 4 billion euros 10 years ago to 22.5 billion euros last year. This is a reflects corporate tax, but also very high income tax and tens of thousands of jobs right across Ireland, which this reflects. It's very, very important and good. But nevertheless, we do estimate that a significant amount of this is windfall, and it's highly concentrated in, you know, the bulk of it is coming from just 10 firms. So it's vulnerable to shocks. And because of that, we have to manage it very carefully and very prudently. What Michael McGrath, Minister for Finance, has done is gone to Cabinet today, and he'll be publishing a detailed report tomorrow on the different options available to Ireland. Mm-hmm. Should we look at a sovereign wealth fund, for example? Is it an extension of a type of a pension reserve fund? You mentioned there that we have a very significant pension issue coming down the line. We know that we have an ageing population. How do we future-proof for that? So the question, we will publish a report tomorrow with some different options to be considered by government, by industry stakeholders, to feed into the different options that might be considered, and then go back to government with final proposals.
So a straight up question for you, and you know this very well, the recruitment and retention crisis facing the public service in hospitals and among Gardaí and so on, should the public service sector get an increase in wages?
That has already been the case with the different public sector pay agreements. I mean, we have
but
built
on
into...
on top of that, I mean.
Well, it is already the case that we have ongoing discussions in relation to that, but what that is precisely the point is that we need to separate out what we believe to be windfall in nature from increases in permanent spending that are built into the system.
Okay, because as we saw, with this money, is that the answer?
Well, we have spent very considerably... Like, if you look at the budget last year, which was a 12 billion euro budget, about half of that was money that was built into permanent spending through social welfare increases, through tax decreases, and a number, and the rest of that was cost of living top off once off measures, because we were so concerned about this windfall nature.
And I do,
so I think you can do
the logic
both
of your,
you know,
answer.
It's not an either or sort of thing.
Yeah,
this is both.
Your answer is quite analytical there, and I do appreciate that. But maybe Gardaí and nurses and doctors and others in the public sector will say, look, we put in a really tough few years, I deserve some kind of a bonus, I'm thinking of leaving the service. Are you saying no to that?
No, what I'm saying is it's not an either or sort of thing, Cormac. It can be both. We are already engaged in public sector pay negotiations as we do on a regular basis.
Okay.
We are already engaged in preparing a budget that will deliver further tax cuts. Mm-hmm. But we can also do this, because I'm quite sure that anybody working in the public sector now wants to make sure that we also make provision for their pension. And we have to take seriously the pension challenge that is coming towards us. And we have to make sure that when we have opportunities like this to take a tax intake of this kind, which is, as I said, a really fantastic position to be in, but we need to use that wisely, because nobody will thank us 15 and 20 years from now if we don't do that.
Okay, you've mentioned an awful lot of things. I'm going to go across to Piers Doherty in just a second. Would you turbo boost infrastructure investment? Sorry, Jennifer first.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking to Piers.
No, you're okay.
Well, that is one of the options. What I my own view is, to the extent that you can invest in the long-term development of the state, through the options are around capital infrastructure. That's really important. Making sure that we acknowledge our ageing population and making provision for that. Making sure that we have, you know, considered all of these different structural options available to us. As I said, with the budget already, we recognise the challenges of the day, both in terms of once-off measures and permanent changes.
Okay.
But this is very different. very unique. It is a once-off opportunity that could change at any moment. Like, we're literally vulnerable to shocks, company-level external shocks. That's how vulnerable this is. And we have to be careful.
Piers Doherty, stay with me, Minister, for just a second. First of all, before we get your plan, Piers, would you give credit to Fine Gael for bringing us from bankruptcy and being under the IMF in 2011 when they came into power, to potential surplus of 65 billion euro. Would you give credit to Fine Gael for that?
Well, if I'm to give credit for Fine Gael for that, I need to also point out many of the issues that people will be pointing out, that the 3,500 kids, Cormac, who woke up this morning in emergency accommodation, aren't very thankful of the fact that we've surpluses. What they really want is a home. And what we haven't done is managed the wealth that we now have in this country, the surpluses that we have, to actually deliver for citizens in the here and now. And that's a real, real big problem.
So what would you
now
do?
Now we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity, as has been pointed out by Jennifer there. There are huge surpluses coming into the state, which will grow each year over the next number of years. Much of them are windfall taxes, and it's really important that we do not base any of our current expenditure, repeated expenditure, on the basis of windfall tax. So a state investment fund is an appropriate vehicle to actually put a portion of those monies in. And now we have a reserve fund already, which Sinn Féin supported money going into in the last budget. There's about 6 billion euro in that reserve fund at the minute. But that reserve fund doesn't invest. It doesn't generate any income. And I think that's a mistake. This needs to be an investment fund which actually generates income, which doesn't lose its value
so
as
no
a result of inflation.
So no ongoing expenditure is what you're saying. So no top-up for nurses and doctors and public sector workers.
That's not what I said at all. What I said, there's two parts in relation to the surpluses that you're going to see next year and the years after. First of all, a portion of that is windfall taxes. And then the second portion is recurring taxes, which the Department of Finance believes are recurring each year. So, for example, next year, that portion, the recurring taxes, will see a surplus of 4.4 billion euro. That will grow to nearly 8.5 billion euro in 2 years' time. So there is capacity here, even excluding the windfall taxes.
Capacity to do what?
For example, to turbo boost infrastructure, to actually deal with the national scandal that has evolved over successive governments now, where we have the highest levels of homelessness in the history of the state, where we have entire generations locked out, where we have house prices out of control because of lack of capacity and rents beyond the reach, where we have an elderly woman in her 70s coming on national radio telling us that she doesn't know where she's going
Jennifer
to live.
Jennifer is in agreement with you on that, unless you can give us a figure.
Well, first of all, we've had surpluses this year. And we didn't see a ramp up in terms of housing. The projected surplus this year, Cormac, is 10 billion euro. And what the government did was actually underspend a billion euro in the last 3 years and are 32% underspent in the first 4 months of this year in terms of housing. Mm-hmm. So the reality is that this government is actually spending the amount of money
record,
that they had.
Jennifer, that Piers Doherty doesn't trust. You might talk about turbocharging infrastructure and housing, for example, but Piers doesn't believe you'll do it, even with 65 billion euro.
It's good now that Piers acknowledges the constraints that are on the housing market, that irrespective of the amount of money we put towards it, we are still challenged with construction labour supply and a range of other matters that delay. And if we could spend all of this money on housing and get it delivered this year, honest to God, I think that's what we would do. But we need to have labour as well. So I think I'm glad to hear Piers acknowledge that now
that's
for the first time. But the other thing is, I'm glad to hear Piers acknowledge the state's progress over the last 10 years, where we went from an IMF programme now to having this kind of surplus, where we went from having 16% unemployment, and that's after people had emigrated, to having less than 4% employment in this state. And the value of the jobs that we have across a number of different sectors, they are high value, high paying jobs across pharma, tech, finance, financial services, med tech. It is a diversified economy, and what that means is there's an element of resilience built up in the economy.
I do understand, but he did also point to various crises under Fine Gael as well for over 10 years. So which one of the crises would you tackle with the 65 billion?
Well, these are the options that we're going to consider, but I think
which one? Let's be more specific here.
But I can't though, Cormac, because this is about a scoping paper to look at exactly that and how we're going to use that money. And it isn't for me to make that decision on the radio here with you. That may very well be, but I've said to you already that I think we need to make provision for an ageing population. I've said to you already that my broad view is that a serious programme of capital investment employment is a really important measure. But that doesn't mean it isn't constrained by the labour supply that we've already talked about. I think paying down the national debt, we have one of the highest national debts across the OECD. It costs 45,000 for every man, woman and child in this state.
Is that something
but we
you
have
agree
to look
with
at
here,
the resilience
Sorry, pay down
of
the
this
national debt. It's over 236 billion euro. It's a lot of money, a lot of interest.
And we're way below the European average in relation to national debt to GDP. But even if you
That's
use
because
the,
our
the,
GDP e- is so bizarre.
I didn't interrupt you once. And even
facts.
If you use
well, you
even
you
if you
pay,
use so let me finish
clear,
this.
You wouldn't pay down the national debt.
Even if you use GNI Star, we're still below the European average in relation to national debt. No, you actually invest this money. You invest this money that gets a return, but you also invest this money in terms of the economy now. So what is causing serious issues in terms of competitiveness and future jobs and the national scandal in terms of homelessness and house prices? It is the issue of housing. The fact that a minister can't actually say on national radio, despite the surplus that we'd have, that we would put additional money into housing construction shows just how out
Sorry.
Of touch that Fine Gael
is. I just did say
just
that. I just did say that.
No, you said capital projects.
No, I did say
capital.
That. I said housing. Yeah. But what I said was that you acknowledge that no matter how much money we set aside for that, unless you can find ways of the labour constraints are such that we can't spend it. And
that's
that I was acknowledging
first of all,
but sorry,
first of all,
what this shows
say,
is that...
Let me just say this. The CIF,
the
Construction Industry Federation have time and time again says that the issue is not the constraints in terms of construction workers. Indeed, we were building about three times as much houses with the less construction workers back during the boom time. The issues
at
here are being pointed. The issues here are being pointed out again, including by RTE this week, about construction inflation, which has gone up, and then a bureaucratic, timely process with the department to actually approve social housing projects. I have them in my own constituency, Jennifer. I'm sure they're in your constituency. It's the red tape within the department that is causing serious delays in terms. Of getting construction projects up and running.
So you're acknowledging that. It doesn't matter if Jennifer and her colleagues plough more into housing. It's the red tape, you say. So
because of course you put more money into construction and you remove the red tape. This isn't the one just the only thing that you do. We've been making this point for years.
You could be the Minister for Finance after the next election. Give me a yes or no on these. With this money, the recurring taxes, if you will, would you give job seekers, lone parents, those on disability allowance and carers, would you give them an increase?
We're arguing that they should have an increase at this point in time, Cormac, because of the cost of living crisis. This government left those individuals poorer this year
that
as a result of inflation.
That is true.
Give us an indication as to what you would do then, and would you use part of this 65 billion to further increase what you've already, on top of what you've already promised?
But Cormac, this 65 billion sits outside budgetary packages that are in the tune of about 5 billion euro anyway. So there is choices to be made in relation to the budgetary package, the increased 5% of spending that is on top of this. So these surpluses are on top of that. So there are choices that you can make. There are also other incomes that can be raised to make sure that the most vulnerable are protected. But
to all of those people.
So, you asked me in terms of social welfare and carers and those in disabilities. We've argued that in our alternative budget. We believe that as a right, you shouldn't be leaving those most vulnerable people poor in the middle of a cost of living crisis. That's what the government did.
Give them an increase beyond what's already projected with the 65.
It is already the case in the last budget that we provided. People will have seen in their pockets money, less tax. They will have seen the changes. If anybody who's paying childcare will have seen their costs come down. Last month in April, 1.3 million people got an additional 200 euro cost of living support.
The 65 billion.
But we continue to work forward on a budget by budget basis. But what we have to acknowledge is the resilience
for these people.
But that's not what I'm saying, Cormac. What I'm saying is you look at the budget next year. I'm saying there is a tax package due. There is a social welfare package due in the next budget. But what you have got to look step back for a second and look at the overall position of Ireland. Only 10% of people pay 60% of income tax in Ireland. That is really important. And you've got to look at the resilience of our country overall and how we're going to continue to develop,
Your final question to you both on another matter. I'm really out of time here, but I'll start with you, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, your fellow junior minister, Niall Collins, today for the first time it's reported publicly stated that he knew his wife was interested in buying public land in Limerick when a meeting he attended agreed to put the site up on the open market. Should he now answer TD's questions in the Dáil on this?
He was in the Dáil last week, and I think what he said. I mean, he said he should have recused himself from that meeting. He should have recused himself from that meeting, and I don't have any, you know.
Should he answer questions from TDs? Given that he stated for the first time publicly that he knew his wife was interested in buying, he's been very open to answering media questions today.
But this is something that happened before he was even a TD. He was in the Dáil last week making an explanation. I think he took further questions.
So media questions, yes, but Dáil questions, no. It's not for me to say, it's a matter for him. I want your opinion.
My opinion is that it's something that happened that before he was a TD, and it's a matter for a local area committee, and that he has explained that in the Dáil. He's as a TD, as a minister, come in and explain that. That he's answered another question on it today, that he should have recused himself from the meeting. Conflicts of interest come up all the time, but you have to manage them, as everybody tries to do, and he should have managed that one better.
Peter Starty, should we leave SIPO to do its work here now on this one?
Look, the minister, which the Dáil holds to account, the minister should come before the Dáil and answer questions. It is very, very obvious that that isn't going to happen, and it's very obvious that he has the protection of the three party leaders, despite the fact that there is different standards for Barry Cowan, who was sacked because he wouldn't answer questions to the Dáil. Okay. It is up to SIPO now. There is a complaint. SIPO's going to investigate that, and they have to make their own determination and rulings in relation to that.
We'll await the outcome on that one. Look, sorry to cut in and way over time. Piers Sarty of Sinn Féin, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill of Fine Gael, thank you both very much.